My name's Emma Cooper, and you're listening to the Network Marketing Mum audio experience.
Good morning. I'm sat having my morning coffee, and I thought, you know what? Gonna share some thoughts. Recently, I did something which has really, really benefited me, so I'm gonna share it with you. I took an Enneagram. Now, that sounds something is inserted somewhere in a body that causes a big reaction. It's not an enema, it's an Enneagram, which is totally different. I didn't know that in the beginning. I was like, wow, what are you asking me to do? So Graham Lizell is the therapist, counsellor. So he's a psychotherapist, whatever you want to call him. But he's the guy that I went to help with grief with my sister and with losing my sister. And I've just kept working with him ever since because I've been really working on myself. And he has massively helped with that. And one of the things he asked me to do was do an Enneagram. And he was like, Emma, you have to take the time. It's 140, I think it's like 140 questions, maybe more. And you have to take the time because it's going to really help you get to know yourself better. And I was like, okay, thinking, oh, it's one of those boring personality tests. I'm just not interested. And maybe I'm in a different part of my life. Maybe I'm on a different part of my self-development journey or whatever that might be. But I'm flabbergasted by it. I am totally and utterly blown away. If I can share something personal without offending anybody, because this is close to home, separate from myself within my family. So when we talk about, you know, what you tell yourself and how you speak to yourself, like I've been saying to myself for a long while, actually, like, I think you're really ADHD, Emma. I say this in my mind to myself. I think you've got ADHD. Like, and I've researched it and I've answered the questions. I'm like, yeah, that's totally me. And I thought, yeah, to be honest, if I got tested, they'd probably say I was. And I thought, that meant that I was going to be challenged and that I'd have to do some reading on how I could, or what I could do, I guess, to make things maybe a little easier for me and be better at certain things, because I saw it as like a challenge. And when I did this Enneagram and it came back with the results, what I realised was that I don't think I have ADHD at all. I think the things that made me think maybe I did were actually just part of my personality type. And so I share that with you because sometimes we can just be like completely overthinking everything in our mind and you're unhappy with a certain way that you are. And so you try and sort of have a reason for that. But what? Why am I like that? And I guess that's what I had been doing. But doing this Enneagram made me realise that this is just my personality and there are things obviously that I can do to sort of get better in certain areas that'll, yeah, make things a lot easier as well. So this Enneagram, the reason why I share this with you and the reason why we're talking today about whether competition is healthy is because this is something me and my best friend Lisa, we've talked about it quite a bit actually, because she's just like, I'm so competitive, and she's not ashamed of it. She's not embarrassed about it. She's like, it's terrible. I'm terribly competitive, and not just for me, but for other people as well. I cheer them on fiercely. You do not want to be at a school sports day with Lisa. She's one of those mums. It's embarrassing. But that is who she is. It's just who she is. She can't help it. She's inherently competitive. And there's nothing she can do about it. She doesn't wish anyone else ill. She doesn't do it to push anybody else down. She just wants to rise. That's just who she is. And, you know, she does it from a really good place and that's fine. But is competition really healthy? Now, I believe that it can be either or. So for someone like me, I remember being in junior school and I was quite good at cross country. But when we came to running the race, Bethan, my friend who was like a giraffe, Bethan Davis, she's beautiful, long legs up to her armpits. And there's me, little dumpling. But I remember running, it was like on a weekend and we were running, I don't even know where it was, but it was like through a forest kind of thing, or woodland area. It's probably a few trees, knowing my memory. And I was just running alongside Bethan and I was like, oh, you don't leave me and I won't leave you. And she was like, yeah, okay. And then my dad was running alongside and he was like, move your butts, girls.
And we had to start, you know, we started running fast. I was like, oh God, this is so annoying. And I just didn't really appreciate the cheering on. It didn't motivate me. I didn't want to win. In fact, I felt bad. And so I hung back behind Bethan so that she crossed the line first. Like, it's just not who I am. I would love to be competitive. I would love to say, oh, they get on my nerves. Watch me now. I just can't do it. I just can't. It's just not me. This Enneagram made me understand me more than anything else has helped me understand me in my entire life. And I think that when you understand you, you can understand what drives you. Now, talking about and going back to competition, as I said, in different kind of arenas, it can be healthy and it can be not healthy. If you are competing against a personal goal of yours, for example, amazing, that's healthy. If you're competing against yourself, but being kind to yourself, nothing too crazy. I mean, you can have really big goals, of course, but be kind to yourself as you're reaching or trying to reach, going for those goals. That's really important. But competition can actually result in lower self-esteem because, and this is like in a team environment, for example, let's say you set an incentive or you, you know, start a competition within your team. The chances are that only a certain percentage are going to win. And this actually can upset your workforce, your team, because 90% of them, let's say, are not going to get recognised. And if they're not going to get recognised, which is a positive motivator, then they could experience the opposite to that, which is fear, rejection, anxiety and disappointment. And do you think that that is going to be great for your workforce or not? It's something to really consider. I know a lot of you guys who follow me are in network marketing, or you've built a team of employees because of your business. And this is something to consider about what drives people and how you can set incentives or do competitions without upsetting 90%. Now, I used to be of the thinking, because I'd heard so many people coach it, and so many people talk about it, that, well, I mean, if they feel down because people are achieving, then they're just in a really bad mindset. And that's actually the biggest pile of nonsense I've ever heard. And if you study, if you read, if you do your research, if you're learning about sales and running teams and motivating and all that kind of stuff, then you'll realize that there's nothing wrong with those people feeling crap about themselves because 10% are getting recognized and 90% are not, even though they've tried their best and maybe they've achieved something, they just haven't achieved quite what you've said. Like, that is not, and if you've been one of those people who felt that way, like, oh my God, I must be crap because this person, they've, you know, hardly done anything. Do you know what I mean? Hardly done anything, but no, not hardly done anything. Hang on. This person, has hardly like made any effort, but achieved so much. And there you are slugging your guts out, not achieving the right lot. Somebody gets recognized for doing hardly anything and achieving. And you're suddenly like, oh, well, it must be me. I must be just completely crap and I can't achieve it either. Like, it's just not meant to be. I'm not very good at this. I'll quit. Consider that. Then you're thinking, well, how am I supposed to do it then? If I want to set like some prize or whatever for achieving something, how am I supposed to do it? Well, for me, you can have different levels. You can have different levels so that if somebody, you know, is taking the steps to achieve, even if they're not quite achieving yet, but if they're taking the steps towards, you know, or they're doing what they need to do in order to achieve, they're just not seeing the results yet, you still want to recognize them. Absolutely, because that is encouraging somebody on in their journey. You see, it's, I really don't like the atmosphere of, well, she's doing it, so what the hell are you doing? Or, aren't these people amazing? Everybody cheer them on. If you're in a great mindset, like, you will cheer them on. And I just think, like, meh, no, just not true. Do you know what I mean? It's just not the way it works. And it's not about being in a good place or a bad place. It's being a human. And that's how humans feel when stuff like that happens. And if you're just like an insanely incredible human and you're just like, no, I cheer on everybody despite what I'm doing and it never affects me negatively. Well, then you're just like another level of human. And that's absolutely amazing for you. And well done, you. You are awesome. But it's not most people. It's absolutely not most people at all. So something to consider. Competition, is it good or is it bad? And my opinion is that it can be good. It can be bad. It just depends what environment it's in. And also, like, what are you being driven by? Are you competitive to watch like others fail? Not others fail, but for you to be better than somebody else. That's not the healthiest, really, unless, I don't know, like you're an athlete. But again, it doesn't have to be to the detriment of other people. It can be that you want to be the best. It's not like I want to beat that person or I want to beat that person. You just really put personal excellence as one of your top values. And therefore, you know that to be personally excellent, you want to be the top of your game, which is top of your industry, maybe. Maybe it's top of your team. Maybe it's winner of the race, whatever. So I hope that you've enjoyed those thoughts being shared. And I hope that's made you think about, yeah, what am I being driven by? What drives me forward? Am I like that with competition or incentive or whatever? And did I think I was just had a weak mindset or a bad attitude or whatever? And when actually that's not the flipping case, I'm actually pretty damn normal. That's okay to be like that. These are good things to think about, to question yourself about. On your own, don't have to talk about it with anyone, but these are really great things to do just to understand you a lot better. And I would really recommend that Enneagram. I think it's about $12. It was online. Enneagram Institute, I want to say. RSI rings a bell, or RI Institute, something like that. I'll post it on my socials over the next couple of days if I remember to do so, so that you can find it. If you can't, pop me a message. No problem at all. And if you've taken value from this podcast, then please feel free to screenshot and to share it on your socials. Tag me in it at Emma Cooper Online. I would really appreciate that. And I do pick a winner to win £25 cash. And I privately message you and let you know and post you on my socials as well if you leave a 5-star review. So feel free to leave a review. Again, screenshot that, tag me in it on socials so I definitely see it. And yeah, I will be excited to hear about that from those of you who are competitive. And it's a good thing, those of you who've been like, wow, this is crazy. And those of you who are like, nah, not me. So what the hell drives me? It's okay. We've got plenty of chances to discuss more on these podcasts. I will be back soon. Take care. Goodbye.
This podcast was sponsored by MyProPlanner, the number one planner for network marketers.